You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Going to quote God's word very often, so just keep standing. I don't know where that came from, but we get tossed by every wind of doctrine, and people like that stuff. They like that interactive preaching, and touch your neighbor, give them a high five, reach across the aisle and pull on your neighbor, and sometimes your neighbor don't want to be bothered with you. Amen. Sometimes your neighbor is your husband or your wife, and that's I mean, we've been to church, and they said, turn over and touch your neighbor. My wife said, you better not touch me. Tell three people. They've been running all over the church. That ain't in the Bible. It's every wind of doctrine and tumbleweed. Christians just grasp everything. Paul has said in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, the second verse, I fed you with milk and not with meat, because he realized that they were young. So he gave them the milk of the word. But what's happening sometimes, and when people stay young so long, they become Rice Krispie Christians. Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They go along with everything until you pour some sincere milk of the word on them, then they snap, crackle, and pop. They're all right as long as you're doing this and doing that, but when you start putting some word on them about their sin, they start snap, crackling, popping, and a lot of times won't even show up. Those are your Rice Krispie Christians. But Paul came with solid and sound doctrine. As a matter of fact, if you read the 15th chapter, you'll see that he has declared in here the gospel of Jesus Christ that he delivered, that it says right here, and it's made plain in 15:3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the only good news we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you'd be surprised how many churches don't preach the gospel anymore. They preach politics. They preach all the social issues, but do not preach the power of the church, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for the church, that he was buried, but he rose on the third day. That is the good news. The 15th chapter, he preaches to us. He wants us to understand the necessity of us being resurrected at the end. It's a future resurrection, amen. But this resurrection, this teaching of the resurrection should be incentive for us to live a better life, amen. You see, the rapture, the resurrection, and the believers led to the practical direction of the conclusion of this chapter. The church at Corinth was urged to stand firm in the apostles' teaching, unmoved by the denials of false teachers. You see, because of the belief in the future resurrection, it should be the proper incentive for service in the present right now. That's why we serve him. That's why we are a church. That's why we have held together for these 97 years. Because the work of the gospel is not finished. It's not finished. See, the church is finishing what Christ began and the disciples carried through. Even up until now, in the year of 2017, the work of the church is not yet completed. We have not yet fulfilled the Great Commission to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We still have work to do. But there ought to be a strong, confident faith in the church in view of the fact that we shall be raised up, we shall be resurrected. And I might as well just tell you this, you're going to die. Yes. Except the Lord come back and rapture the church, you will die. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die, and than the judgment. So we're going to die. But the good hope is to know that we shall be resurrected. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what he says here. We will be changed. Amen. You see, this flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No flesh can stand before God. We have to be changed. But we'll change now. The first time we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are changed on the inside. But we shall be changed on the inside as well as the outside. Amen. No flesh can see the Lord. So we're to be firm, fixed, stable, and unmoved. Be not shaken by the agitated of strifes and temptation and the cares of this life. Be fixed in the faith, and let not the power of sin overcome us to seduce our souls. And so he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Steadfast. Be steadfast. Not shakable. Be firm. Unbendable. Unfaltering. Unwavering, unswerving, not subject to change, devoted, loyal, firmly fixed in place, be steadfast, then be unmovable, immobile, unbudging, planted firmly, stable, standing your ground against Satan and against sin and against this world. Be unmovable. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Always abounding, mean ready to excel, enthusiastically working, giving yourself fully, holding nothing back, engage diligently in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord here means and what God requires. That's the work of the Lord. Not just everything you do, but what God requires. All the appropriate duties of Christian life is seen here to do the will and the work of God. You cannot do the work of God without doing the will of God. And you must understand the will of God in order to do the work of God. Always abounding in the work, never tired, but go on. Even when you're weary, continue to go, knowing that in your weariness, God is still with you. It's the work of the Lord. It's the spread of the gospel. You don't need to go out to the shopping mall to spread the gospel if you haven't spread the gospel in your own home. Amen. Around your own children. In your own church. Amen. See, the church is not an organization. We have not kept an organization together 97 years, for we have not kept ourselves. God has kept us. Over the rocks and the rails, God has kept us these 97 years through all the things that that church has encountered. God has kept the church together by his power, for we're not an organization, we are organism. We're living. We are indeed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the head. You can kind of compare the church with the pieces to a jigsaw puzzle. You see, in a jigsaw puzzle, each piece has protrusion and indentation. Have you noticed that? The protrusion, they represent our strength, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, while the indentations represent our weaknesses, our faults, our limitations, our shortcomings, and undeveloped areas in our lives. But the beauty is that when the indentation and the protrusion get together, you don't see them anymore. All you see is the completed picture of the puzzle. So that's why when we get together, you don't see our flaws. You don't even see our strength. You just see the harmony of Christians coming together in the church, in the body of Christ. Amen. That's the beauty of this church and the beauty of the puzzle. Just as each piece of the puzzle is important, so it's important for each member to show up. Because you know if you're putting together a puzzle and there's a piece missing, it just ain't right. It stands out. You can tell it's incomplete because you didn't show up. And I've told you many times, you can't grow up till you show up. You need to hear the word of God every Sunday. That's the biggest problem I found with colored black, Negro, African American people. They don't want to show up at church. They show up at work on Monday, but won't show up at church on Sunday. I mean, I know y'all sure y'all here today, but some of y'all ain't here. Amen. I look out in the pews, it's like a snag-a-tooth old lady. Amen. I see all these empty spaces out here. Amen. All up in the balcony. The church should be full. Every Sunday, there is a word from the Lord. The same is with the body of Christ. If we're absent from the whole, we don't present what the puzzle should really look like in its completion. Every piece is not conspicuous, and no one can see the indentation and the protrusion that we have when we're together. Our strengths and weaknesses together make a beautiful picture, but you got to come together. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, an athlete, when he trains, he desires to be effective on game day. So he realized that not only does he train with the team, but he spends some time away from the team developing his own skills. Amen. To a high degree, he's able to develop himself so that when he comes in the competition with the other team, when he comes with those who would defeat him, he's willing to go to work and be everything he needs to be. Christians who desire to be effective in the church work and the ministry realize that the public moment of any effective ministry always precedes how much time you spend in prayer, how much time you spend reading the Word of God, how much time you spend helping other people and seeking the Lord, how much time you spend in praise to God. I tell you, sometimes you need to just get by yourself and just praise God. That's what I'm talking about. Just praise Him. Just praise Him for what He's already done for you. That should take up some of your time right there. If we would give God as much time as we give television, hello. Effective ministry never accomplished by a weak and unhealthy church. Now listen, it's important that we learn to come together to be effective. We're together. We're training together. Amen. It's important. And Paul tells us that. He tells us that early on in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He talks about how we're one body. That's it. We're just all one body. Amen. He talks of the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. And he said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, our one body is also, so also is Christ. Yes. Verse 13 of the 12th chapter said, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink in one Spirit. Now, Macedonia, understand something. We are not in competition with any other body of Christ. We're not in competition with any other church, any other denomination. There's no competition in the body of Christ. There's only completion in the body of Christ. We don't compete, we complete one another in the body of Christ. For the body is not one member, but many members. It's made up of many members. And he goes on to say, if the hand says, I'm not part of the body, is he not part of the body just because it said so? Everybody has members of their body. Amen. The eyes cannot brag about them being better than the hand, because the hand say, who shades you when the sun is shining? Amen. Every part of the body has a particular portion. And if the head starts saying, well, I'm better than everybody, then the feet say, well, you can't go nowhere till I move. Amen. So every part of the body has a function, and we all function together in the body of Christ. We come together. There's no schisms in the body. There's no big I and little you in the body of Christ. We all have our role to play. Amen. Now, everybody can't be the pastor. Did y'all hear what I said? We don't need but one. Amen. One is enough. Amen. But there are many functions of the Bible. And the body of Christ, is put together by God. As a matter of fact, that's what it said in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. It pleased him. He did what he did. It pleased him to put the body together. But Paul says, when he ends the 12th chapter, he says, after demonstrating how the body of Christ has many members unified together by the diversity of gifts, he said, but desire the best gifts, but yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he brings in the 13th chapter, telling us about love. You see, love is the glue that holds the church together. Love for God, love for mankind holds the church together. That's what's held the church together for 97 years. It had not been the preaching, the teaching, the singing. It had been the love for God and the love for God's people that holds the church together. Yeah, love is the glue. See, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always preserves, because love never fails. That's the glue that holds the body together. The body is powered by the Holy Spirit, fueled by faith, but love keeps it together. It's that love for God to his glory. It's the love of the membership to the good that holds. That's why we take care of one another. That's why we seek each other when in sickness and when we're going through things, because love keeps us together. It's the same thing. It's the same reason that when you see mountain climbers. Mountain climbers are roped together as they climb the mountains. Now, that's something I don't hope to ever do. I crossed it off my bucket list, amen. But there are those that climb mountains. And they're linked together by a rope. And the reason for that is that if one may slip and begin to fall, he will not fall to his death because he's already linked to the other ones that are holding on. Did you hear what I'm saying? And that's the way the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be linked together with this rope of love, that if anyone slips, if anyone falls, we don't talk about them. We don't put them down. We pull them up. Let them get their footing and help them up. Amen. Roped together by the Holy Ghost, roped together by love through the struggle. We all have struggles. We all have a story to tell, but we're linked together, and God keeps us together, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is necessary. The work of the Lord goes on and on. And all. But be steadfast. Unmovable. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let false doctrine move you. Don't let the trends in the church move you. Always abounding in the work. Be enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, your work, everything you have done is not in vain. It's not in vain. It has a purpose. And God will make sure that that purpose is accomplished. Amen. Amen. We're trained for this. We're trained. And that's what Bible study, that's what prayer meeting is for. That's what Sunday school is for. These are our training sessions, so we might be excellent when we come together and be everything we can be. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice in John 10:27, and they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Because we have eternal life, right now, if we've been born again, you have it right now. You are not experiencing it right now, but you got it. And the moment your blood pressure drops to zero, the moment your eyes close for the last time, you shall experience what you already have, and that is the eternal life. And because we have it, it gives us hope to endure. to be strong, to be firm, to be steadfast and unmovable. This is what Paul is saying. Because of the resurrection, because of the fact that we have eternal life, that should be our incentive. That should be our motivation to do the work of the Lord, always abounding in that work. Knowing that everything you do is not in vain. No. There's a purpose for it. Don't get weary in well-doing, brothers and sisters. You shall reap if you faint not. Keep working, because our work is not finished. We've had a good start. 97 years is a good start, but the work is not completed. O death, where is thy sting? There was a little story of a little girl who was playing in her mother's garden. And then a bee began to buzz around her head. And she began to panic because she was allergic to bee stings. And she cried out loudly, and as she began to run from the bee, her brother was in the house, and he heard his sister cry out, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And he got between the bee and her. And when the bee finally got him, the bee stung him and not her. Because by the time the bee got to her, the stinger was gone. Oh, death, where is thy sting? That's all I'm trying to tell you, that Jesus got between us and death. Yes, he did. He took the sting of death for us when he died upon the cross of Calvary. He took the sting out of death. There is no more sting in death. Where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? Our victory is in Christ Jesus, who took the sting of death upon himself when they nailed his hands to that rugged cross, put a crown of thorns upon his head. When he hung between two thieves, they took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. For the record said, early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Macedonia, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus is on his way back. He's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. Let us be that church. Let us be those people that he finds working when he comes. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. The arms of Jesus are stretched open. His house shall
be. We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.